Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be here. We want to welcome anybody that is here for the first time. We've got some of those here. And if you've never been in the Sanctified Church before, you are welcome. We love you without knowing you. And we want you to just let the Spirit speak. I ask for all the saints this morning to pray. Whenever we, in any of our meetings, whether it's at home, whether it's a feast meeting, whether it's a camp meeting, generally in almost every service, we have a preacher.
Right.
And with any of our services, the Spirit can speak through anybody, but the fruit that comes from the words that are spoken can only be there if there's a receptive audience.
Right.
My mother had a challenge with five boys, and really all of us when we're kids and your parents are telling you stuff to do. What the kids hear is blah, 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 because she's already told you to clean your room or whatever. And so parents recognize that. And my mother had a thing, and yours probably did too. She said, "Gary Jr., do you hear me?" And so that's really, let's all bring our minds in. We got 1,000 things going outside these walls. All of us do. Things we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to travel back home this afternoon. We got a lot of things. Let's all of us this morning bring our thoughts and our hearts right in this building for these next few minutes and let God speak His word. I'm going to start reading for those that want to read along in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning in the 27th verse, Luke 8 and 27. And this says, "When Jesus went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him," the devils did, besought Jesus, "that he would allow them to enter into the swine. And he allowed them." He suffered them. "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that had fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed." Verse 38. "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to thine own house and show what great things God hath done unto thee.' And he went his way and published throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done unto him." Well, that's a beautiful story, isn't it? We're here on Father's Day, and it is a day of memoriam for some of us. Some of us, our fathers are gone. And it's so important, the role of fathers in the family. Becky and I were talking coming up Friday, and the reason the Bible stresses so often to you parents to discipline your children It talks about it over and over. It's because if your children don't learn by your teaching to respect authority and to respect their earthly father, when they become of age, it's going to be difficult for them to have respect for their heavenly father. Your heavenly father, as was mentioned, I think Brother Mitch mentioned it last night, someone mentioned it this weekend, that there are certain things that God has said is all right, and there are things that God says is not all right. There are things that God calls out. Brother Patrick, you the one mentioned it last night. There are boundaries that God puts. He doesn't, this false theology that's prevalent in a lot of what you see on TV preaching and radio preaching and Facebook preaching and all this stuff is just claim the blessing, accept Christ as your Savior, and then everything, all these promises in the Word, they tell us are designed for your good and for your betterment and for you. And the Bible is not, and serving God has never been and never will be about you. In fact, it's about the sacrifice of you so that you can serve Him. That's correct theology. And so it's vital, it's important for you fathers to be godly fathers and to teach your children. Don't let, I had an experience recently with a couple. They had a six-year-old, and the six-year-old, I could go into detail and I won't because, wow, it would blow your mind. But the six-year-old was running the house at 6 years old. I promise you, at my house, I didn't get that option. That option was not on the list. It might not have been for you either. And that was a good thing. So I miss my dad and my mom here today. I thought of Brother Harry this morning. He was a father to so many of us. We sang his song this morning. He was my friend. And I thought a lot about my Uncle Bob this morning, who was a father to me, and I miss him so much. You know what? As these ones leave us, they leave us the keys to the old ship of Zion. Yeah. I'm not really comfortable handling those keys in my part of it. I'd much rather them be in charge of it. Yeah. But they're counting on us. Heaven's counting on us. Amen. Heaven's calling us. And they want us to be faithful. They want us to be faithful to the church. They want us to be faithful to the gospel.
Yes.
And so for those that have never been here before and never been in our service, I want you to understand you're not in the usual church. You're in a church that loves you enough to tell you gospel truth.
Amen.
You're in a church that, even though, yes, we have changed in our list of do's and don'ts, the list from 40 years ago doesn't work today, or at least it's not accepted. It probably still does work, by the way. Just say that for the record. It probably still does work. Because the Bible still says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is never changed, even though, yeah, our standards and things are slippery and sliding. And we just, frankly, we're way closer to the world than we ought to be. I don't know if God is pleased with it. I told Becky the other day, the song Uncle Paul said was, the look on your face tells how you feel. Well, now you can kind of put the modern day translation and be what you put on Facebook shows how you feel. And I see some things on there sometimes and I'm like, wow, it seems like there's a lot of wanting to be like the world and to accept the world's values. And I tell you what, folks, it's a downward road. The world's values are never going to line up with the values of the kingdom. They're never going to be in sync. And you will be called weird, and you maybe even by our folks, to reject some things that are accepted by some of our folk. But it's all right if you cleave and hold to God's unchanging hand. It'll be for your betterment to hew the line. And so we believe and we preach, and this morning, this story that I've just read is a marvelous story. The God that we serve, the Savior we serve, is not just another God. It's not a lot of the world that we're in. People want this acceptance of everything. And If you don't accept alternate lifestyles and you don't accept other religions and you don't accept really some things they want you to accept, just go against common sense.
Right.
Just take the Bible out of it. Some things just go against common sense. But we're in this world where if you don't accept all this alternate stuff, well, then you are a bigot and you don't have love in your heart and all this kind of stuff. Well, our God that we serve, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not like other religions.
Right.
Let's just get that out of the way.
That's right.
The gospel of Jesus, do you realize we serve, we're the only religion that the deity that we are serving, the deity that we proclaim fidelity to, we've got the only deity that loved us enough to give himself for us.
Right. Amen.
They don't have that in the other religions.
None
of them do. And so right there, that sets us apart and puts us on a different track. Our God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse right there, that one phrase, that should not perish, indicates, contrary to what all the funeral preachers say, everybody that dies is not going to heaven.
That's true. Amen.
You won't believe it if all you do is go to funerals, if that's the only church. If that's the only church you get in is when you go to your friend's funerals, you're going to come away thinking that everybody goes to heaven. Because that's all they talk about at funerals. But you know what? He died not that we should perish, but that we should receive eternal life.
Amen.
And so what Jesus does is he takes us from a place of death.
Yes.
He takes us from a place where we were dead in trespasses and sins.
Right.
And he brings us to life. Let me go back to this story. And this is this ties in a little bit with what Brother Mitch read last night. This 8th chapter of Luke. I highly recommend it. It's got some amazing stories in it. In the story right before this, they had been on one side of the lake. And Jesus had said in one place, I think it's in the book of Mark, he said, let's go to the other side. And so they got in the ship and departed. And one of the stories, this in the book of Luke, it doesn't talk about the storm. And I doubt it was the only time they went across the lake. But there was a storm, as Brother Mitch preached last night. But when they got to the other side, and this is in the 27th verse, when he went forth to land, when Jesus went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. And he wore no clothes. And he did not live in a house, but he lived in the cemetery. We've got a cemetery that we like a lot. If we had somebody living in our cemetery, naked, what would we do? Hello, 911. We'd be making a call. And we'd be asking the authorities, seriously, to come remove this man.
Right.
And we'd probably joke about it and laugh a little bit about it. And we would expect the authorities to take care of this. I doubt, and I'm trying to put this in a way that you can understand a little more about this story.
Right.
If we really did see that, seriously, on the campground, would you go approach that person? You. Would you go say, come here, brother? No, you probably wouldn't. Now, it does say here that this man came to Jesus. But here's the thing. He was living in the cemetery. He was not wearing clothes. He was possessed of devils. And he was an uncontrollable man. Now, you might say, well, I don't understand. This doesn't relate to me. Let me tell you something. The Bible likens death, the spiritual death that we're all born with. We are living in a graveyard.
Right.
Yeah.
We are living in the cemetery. That's where dead people live.
Right.
Where do dead people get together? In a cemetery.
Right.
And you that that we're dead in trespasses and sins, you might not think about it like that. But if you are not serving Jesus, if you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you're living in a cemetery. Guess what else? You are naked and open in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. How about that? Living in the cemetery naked before you find Jesus. And the next thing it says here, that, let's see, he fell down with a loud voice and he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" Now, what I love was that Jesus didn't call the authorities. He didn't go call the sergeant at arms to come take care of this man. And this is the thing, wherever you are in your sinfulness, wherever you are in your cemetery, if you're not sanctified, if you're not serving God, Jesus is not afraid of you. He will come and meet you right where you are.
Amen.
In fact, He loves you so much, He's going to chase you.
That's right.
You might say, "I don't want to be saved. I don't want nothing to do with this stuff." And this week I was thinking about Aunt Ella Jean and Uncle Vernon, and he answered it for me in his testimony. I was wondering what year that they were at this altar right here. It was 2006. That was a very good year, by the way, in a lot of ways. But let me tell you something. Before that, decades away from God, God was chasing y'all. He was there. Oh, you can come to church. You can act like you're not paying attention. You can act like the preacher's not getting to you. You can act like the spirit of the songs isn't penetrating. You can leave here. But I tell you what, if you have been exposed to gospel truth and you have a heart that has just a little piece that's willing to serve God, God's going to chase you into your corner. He's going to go with you when you leave the church. He's going to bug you when you're by yourself. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, Jesus is not afraid of going where you are. He'll come to you and just, He loves you enough to chase you and to come after you and to call you and just put that little tickle in your heart. So when you do come around our folks, "Oh, you're acting like, I'm not ready for this yet, so you're acting like, oh, it's not bothering me." And that song's tugging on your heart. There's something in there, and you're like, especially if you've been sanctified before, you remember what it's like. You remember what it's like you were talking about last night, Patrick. You can go live in a foreign country or go visit, and you might be there for a long time, but there's no place like home.
Amen.
There's no place like home. Everybody here has a home that's your comfortable spot. It's your place. You've got a bed that's your bed. You got a pillow that's your pillow. There ain't no other place like that. And no matter where in sin you roam, you'll never be happy till you come home.
Amen. That's right.
And so this man, Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of this man, for oftentimes it had caught him.
Yes.
Man. That talks about so many people right there. You know, a lot of folks, they know they're not saved. They know they're not living with God. But man, they got the pretense up.
Right.
They got the makeup on, the makeup of, "I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. How you doing?" "I'm doing great."
Yeah.
Meanwhile, your whole world is collapsing when everything around you
all falling with a crash.
It's falling with a crash, and yet you're on the outside. "I'm great. I'm wonderful.
Right.
I'm fine. I got the pretense up. I'm doing great." Especially if you come around sanctified folks, you sure don't want to let them know you're miserable, because they got to come talk to you.
Yeah.
So, man, everything's doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Everything. And so, but this says, but oftentimes that he caught him. So you can pretend for a while, but there's times, whoa, man, when old sin just rears its ugly head and something's happening, and you know, if you've got any inkling of who God is, you know it's a result of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a result of your choice not to serve God. Listen, this living through life is not coincidence. There's no coincidences. Don't give me that stuff. Either God's in control or He's not. Either God's in control or He's not. If He's not, all this is a pretense. I believe that He's got control of everything, don't you? And even when you're not sanctified, He's coming after you. And things that are happening in your life that make you wake up, that make you think about home, all those coincidences that you might call it, it's God working with you.
That's right.
It's God bringing you to Him. And so this man was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he broke the bands. It was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And so, my goodness, you think about that. We got a lot of songs that we sing about chains and fetters. And they're what? They're chains of sin.
That's right.
They're chains of sin. This guy had physical chains. But this story is talking to us.
Yeah.
Oh, you might thought, oh man, I'm good. I'm making a good living. My family's doing good. My kids are all right. I'm living in a big house. I got a nice car. Got my nice career. Got my retirement set up. I got all this going on. We're in good health. But let me tell you something. If you're not serving God, sin is slowly just wrapping around you, hardening your heart, putting a layer of sin between your heart and Jesus, and it's building up. It's like plaque. It's building up over the years. He wants to get you to where you have a hard heart, where you don't feel the receptiveness of the Spirit. We sing a song, if you've been bruised by the chains of sin and you are searching for peace within, I know a Savior that'll make you whole. And he'll fill that longing down in your soul. We sing a song. I had to write this down because I can't remember all this. Are you disappointed? Wandering here and there. Dragging chains of doubt. And loaded down with care. Do unholy feelings. Struggle in your best. Bring your cares to Jesus. He can give you rest. Do y'all believe it? We don't see those chains sometimes. Sometimes we do see them. Another song, and maybe this might be the last one, and we don't sing this one at Arha, but I know they sing in Raleigh and some other places. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain, but I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Oh, and then we sing this song. He has broken every chain. He strengthened my soul in love, and he's helping me to gain life's eternal crown above. Oh, aren't you glad? The second part of that song, Glorious Freedom, says freedom from fear. And all of his torments. When Brother Marvin Davis was in good health and gave us the last 5 good years of his physical health, man, he gave us so much help. And he loved that song, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. And I'm free, somebody can sing this louder than others, from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord, free at last. I tell you what, Jesus is in the business of doing miracles. He can come in like he did with the disciples after the resurrection, with the doors and the windows being shut. Some of you might be like that. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't believe just this church and all. We don't believe that either, by the way. But, you know, you got doors and your windows shut, and Jesus shows up in the middle. And just pops up. And what you going to do with it? Because when you confront Jesus, when Jesus comes to you like he came to this man, this naked man that was just out of control, when he did come to him, Patrick, how you doing? You've got to deal with it.
That's right.
You've got to deal with it. What are you going to do with Jesus?
Amen.
Are you going to crucify him afresh?
Right.
You can do that. There's a lot of people that do.
Right.
Well, on down here at the end, and this is a part that just stood out to me when I read this recently, a couple of weeks ago. I love it when God gives you something and it's just there, man. It's just awesome.
Right.
It says here, I never noticed this before. I know Jesus had certain of the disciples with him on that boat when they crossed the lake, but it starts off saying that when Jesus went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man. It did not say when they went to land, a certain man met them. It kind of made me feel like that when they got to land, they maybe dispersed for a little bit. Maybe some of them had to go pay a bill, or they had to go wash clothes or whatever. I don't know what. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They had been away for a while.
Yeah.
They hit land. They probably said, well, we'll be back together tomorrow or whatever. And all of a sudden, Jesus was by himself. And he dealt with this man by himself. Now, God uses us, the sanctified people. We are ambassadors for Christ.
That's right.
He's counting on, he did not sanctify you to sit on a seat and never do anything for God.
Right, right. Amen.
Just so you'll know.
Amen.
That's right.
He expects you to do a work for him. Your work is different than my work.
That's right. True.
We can say that for all of us.
Sure. That's right.
Your talents are different than somebody else's talents. Your gift zone, that's not a biblical phrase, but I like it. Your gift zone, the zone where you're comfortable working, the thing that lights your heart when somebody talks to you about doing a certain ministry or going to Guatemala might be one or whatever. And there's some people that go, I'm not interested in that. That's okay. That's not where you're supposed to be.
Right.
So get out of the way. Let the ones that want to go, go. Amen. And support them when they go, by the way.
Right.
We're in this thing together. But somewhere,
amen,
you've got something. It might be a testimony at work. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
But then there are times. And so when that happens, and Matt, I hear you're great about getting folks to church. I love you for that. And so you've got a boldness to go to somebody at work and to share the gospel with them.
Right.
To help them get out of their chains and fetters. And by the way, just a tip for you young folks. I used to think this when I was young folks. Your job when you talk to somebody is the end goal, I used to think, was to get them to church. No, that's not the end goal. The end goal is to introduce them to the man that can take their chains and fetters away.
Amen.
You may introduce somebody to Jesus that goes to another church, and that'll be all right.
Yeah.
As long as they get to heaven is the end goal. Today is Father's Day. John the writer said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Becky and I have been blessed beyond measure with our children. I would be very happy if you want to talk to me after church, and I'll be able to give you all three of my children's resume. And I will tell you their accomplishments, right, Becky? Because we're proud of them and we're thankful. And I can tell you, and by the way, I've got the most amazing grandchildren in the world. Sorry for the rest of y'all. Mine are the best, and yours are too.
Yeah.
Okay, and we can give all that resume because, but at the end of the day, if my son is president of the world and he's not sanctified, then my heart's going to be heavy.
Right.
I love your accomplishments. It's wonderful. You do too. We want that. We want them to succeed in this world. But somebody talked about last night, this world is not home.
That's right. Amen.
It's just a temporary station. We're going some other place.
Amen.
And your parents, by the way, all these little children around here, I didn't know I was going to say this morning, but I'll tell you something. Your job, Katie talked about it last night. God gave her a son, and she wants to give her son back to God.
Amen.
That's scriptural. That's the story of Hannah and Samuel right there. And if you as a parent don't prepare the way for your children to have a relationship with God, you are a failure as a parent.
Yeah, that's true.
No matter what they go to do the rest of their life.
All right.
Well, this Jesus by himself dealt with this man, and he calls these demons, these devils, plural. Now, this was not the only time that Jesus met somebody that had multiple devils. In fact, in the very previous chapter, he had dealt with a woman that had come into Simon's house where Jesus was, and she bathed his feet with the tears that fell from her face.
Right.
And he turned to her and said, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven.
Yes.
And it says in the beginning of this chapter that there were certain women which had been healed of evil spirits, plural, and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went
seven devils.
Right. This was legion that had so many they couldn't count.
Right.
A lot of times people have one weakness.
Right. Listen.
Maybe that weakness leads to another weakness. Usually sins are tied together.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. They're usually kind of connected, but whatever it is, Jesus can free you from it.
Amen.
So he calls these devils to go into this herd of swine. They ran off the cliff.
Right.
Uncle Ray said with his story that the devils were smarter than to live with the devil. I mean, the pigs were smarter than to live with the devil. They wanted to get rid of it. That's what Uncle Ray used to tell us. Well, so I got down to this last part here. When they went out, they, the disciples, they, the people that owned the swine, when they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus, they found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now, what I've never noticed before, it sounds like this was just a personal testimony that was just Jesus and Legion. I'd never noticed this. Jesus, when he got off the boat, the man came to him. And after the devils were cast out, then everybody else wanted to show up to find out what was going on.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know what that period of time was that Jesus was dealing with Legion all alone, one-on-one. Do you know that's where you get your salvation? Well, you might be right here praying, and we're all around you, but at the end of the day, it's just you and Jesus. Somebody say amen. You, a lot of our problems that we have, becoming sanctified doesn't make the problems go away. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so my tribulations that I deal with, oh man, don't, I'm not going to stand here. You know, they say, oh, the preacher's not supposed to have problems. No, preacher, nothing. People, we're all people. And I got tribulations. But you know what? When I deal with them, I'm not ringing your phone. When I got an impossible situation, who are you going to call?
Yeah.
You gonna call your wife? You gonna call your husband? You gonna call your mom, your dad? Or you gonna call Jesus?
Right. Amen.
I got Jesus on the line. Amen. I can call heaven anytime.
That's right.
And then I got somebody that can fix the problem.
Amen.
And so in this interim period between Jesus meeting the man and then all everybody showing up to see what was happening, what kind of conversation do you think they had?
Yeah.
And where in the world did Jesus get the clothes? They were in the wilderness. There wasn't a belt department store. There wasn't something. Jesus didn't say, come on, let's go shopping, man.
Yeah.
Let's go. No, where'd Jesus get the? It was Jesus. He doesn't need an explanation.
Right.
He makes things appear that never were there.
That's right.
He, how do you think he created the worlds? He spoke them into existence.
Right.
Finding a set of clothes wasn't a problem for him.
Right.
And meanwhile, they had this conversation. He cast the devils out of him. He made the man become at peace. The man was able to get over the guilt of his past. And the man was able to have a right mind. Do you realize that when you're living in the cemetery of sin, you are not in your right mind?
Amen.
Oh, you might think you are, because we all like to think we're smarter than the average bear. Everybody likes to think that.
Right.
You know what? Half of people can't say that, at least. But I wasn't talking about you.
Right.
At least half can't say that. But we like to think that. But in the cemetery of your life, before you meet Jesus, you are not in your right mind.
No, you're not. That's right.
That's why you keep messing up.
Right.
That's why you make mistakes. You're making all the decisions on your own.
Yeah.
And when you don't have Jesus, before you come to Jesus, everything's about you.
Right. That's true.
You think the world is all about you. You're a narcissist. How many narcissists does it take to change the light bulb? Only one, because the world revolves around you.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking before you come to God. But when you get sanctified, when you come and you lay self at the altar and you die out, Jesus becomes your friend. He will put clothes on you, not clothes like this here, but there's things in your life there's before you come to God that's naked. You don't want nobody to know about it. You got the shame when you finally are like, when you finally come to yourself and realize what you had done.
Right.
The horror of your past, And you're kind of embarrassed. Jesus puts clothes on it.
Yes.
He puts clothes on it. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Oh, folks might know about it, but you can walk. I'm telling you, I know this. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
It's not that it didn't happen. It's not that nobody doesn't know about it. But I'm going to tell you what. You can walk with confidence
right.
as a child of God. Being
redeemed.
Clothed with the robes of righteousness.
Amen.
Knowing that it doesn't matter what you think about me or somebody else thinks about me. My past has been forgiven.
Yeah.
My sins have been cleansed.
Amen.
I'm fully clothed with the garments of salvation.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus can do it. And this morning, we want him to do it for somebody.
Right.
I want to tell you this morning, we've got to say the gospel message. The first thing you've got to do if you want to get right with Jesus, you have to ask him to forgive you of your past. You have to repent of the things that you made a choice to do that you knew were wrong.
Amen.
You know what the list is. We don't know. We don't care. It's not up to us. It's different for you than it is for him. But you've got things, if you're an adult, that you knew were wrong and you chose to do them anyway. And God requires you to repent.
Yes.
And when you repent, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just
yes.
to forgive us.
Right. Amen.
And then you are like a new baby. And let me tell you something. Jesus gave a warning that when an unclean spirit leaves a man, he goes out and finds to himself seven other spirits worse than himself. And he comes back to that house and he knocks on the door.
Right.
And he sees that there's somebody in.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, if you don't go on after you get your sins forgiven and get Jesus in the house,
right.
when that devil comes back, he's going to enter back into that house with seven devils worse than himself. And the Bible said the end of that man is worse than the beginning.
In the beginning.
How many times? No wonder the world around us is struggling in sin and woe when their preachers tell them we're all sinners. And the preacher says, I'm just a sinner like you. There's no expectation of deliverance. There's no expectation of a freedom from sin. And you repent. And the devil comes trotting right back, and he's got seven more
Amen.
Just like him.
Right,
and then it gets worse, and then you repent again.
Worse.
And now you got seven devils going out, and they're bringing seven more, and now you got 49 coming in. And you see how your life just goes on a decline, down and down into sin. But Jesus can take you out of sin.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We believe in a God that brings us completely victorious.
Amen.
Jesus isn't afraid of the devil. He created him.
Right.
And the things that are created are in subjection to the Creator.
Right.
And if you will just allow the power of God to come into your life
Amen.
By asking him to fill your heart with the Holy Spirit, he will make you a new creature in Christ.
Absolutely.
All things will pass away.
Yes. Yes.
And behold,
all things.
Yes. My relationships, yeah. Yeah, my job, yeah. My thoughts, my actions, yeah. My reactions, yeah. He'll make all things become new.
Amen. Amen.
Are you willing to give up yourself? Who wants to let their chains go this morning?
Amen.
Who wants to give it up? Man, what a great swap. We're going to go into prayer. We're going to ask everybody to stand. If the Spirit of God has convicted you this morning, don't be ashamed. Don't go running back in your tombs. Come to Jesus like this man did. And let him deliver you. Let's all stand.